Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Yutes, Chapter 19. In this perek, once again, Yecheskel uses the technique of a mashal that he has used in Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. This perek is different, as it is termed a kin'ah, a song of lamentation, an expression of grief, and Yecheskel is not addressed as Ben Adam, son of man, which generally shows that the nevuos have been started. This parak has two main sections, from Aleph to Tes, 1 to 9. Hashem tells Yecheskel to say a kin'ah, and he describes the rise and fall of a lion family. From Pasuk Yud to the end of the parak, he describes a grapevine, repeating a theme he has used before. The kin'ah uses the symbolism of a pride of lions, and there are a number of words that describe the lion in its various stages. There's the lioness, a leviah, a young lion, a kfir, and a lion cub, a gor. Each of these lions represent different rulers from the time of Yoshiyahu through the time of the Churban, and their varying levels of experience, prestige, and power. The Nevuah surrounds the time of the last of the four rulers after the death of Yoshiyahu. Let's review their history so we can understand what is happening here. Yoshiyahu was a righteous king who transformed the nation and ruled from 640 BCE to 609 BCE. Paro Necho wanted to attack Ashur and requested permission from Yoshiyahu to use the land to travel. Yoshiyahu refused, went out to battle with Paro, assuming that he would win based on the righteousness of the nation, and was killed. The nation was shocked and fell into deep mourning. Before his death, Yoshiyahu appointed his second son, Yehoahaz, as the successor. The people proclaimed him king, and he ruled only 3 months before he was led off by Paro Necho to prison. Paro Necho then appointed Yehoiakim, Yoshiyahu's oldest son, to rule. Yehoiakim was aggressive and oppressed both neighboring countries and his own population. During the fourth year of his reign, Paro Necho was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. Yehoiakim stayed subservient to Nebuchadnezzar and paid heavy taxes for 3 years until he tried to ally himself with Egypt to overthrow Nebuchadnezzar. He was captured and led to Babel in chains, where he died. The next ruler was Yehoiachin, Yoyakim's son. He ruled a mere 3 months when Nebuchadnezzar laid a siege on Yerushalayim. He surrendered himself, his mother, and the other nobles to Nebuchadnezzar, which began the Galut of Yehoiachin, which is how Yecheskel references all his dates back to the beginning of that Galut. Nebuchadnezzar installs Mattaniah, Yoshiyahu's son, and Yehoiachin's uncle as king and changes his name to Tzidkiyahu. It was these events that Yecheskel is now writing a kinah, a lamentation for. Although the kings being described were evil, nonetheless, this kinah is not said with sarcasm, but was a legitimate cry of pain on the tragic situation that unfolded based on the potential that had been there with Yoshiyahu. In Psukim Aleph through Dalet, we will hear the story of the first lion cub, who is Yehoahaz. In Psukim Vav through Tes, 6 through 9, according to many, it refers to Yoakim. And in Yod through Yod Dalet, Psukim 10 through 14, it describes the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Let's start with Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Batah Sakina el Nesiyah Yisrael. Pasuk starts not by calling Yecheskel Ben Adam, but it starts directly addressing Yecheskel. Now take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. This lamentation is not for the entire nation. It is only for the Nesiyim, the princes. The Malbim says that this initial kina is for Yehoahaz, Yehoiakim, and Yehoiachin. In this mashal, it will use the mashal of a lion, which is a frequent device, especially when it comes to the tribe of Yehuda and Malchus Beis David, the Davidic dynasty, and also the grapevine, which is a flavored fruit. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Vamarta ma imcha leviya. How was your mother a lioness, Bain Arios, among the lions, Ravatsa, she crouched, Besoch Kefirim, Ribsa Gureha. In the midst of the young lions, she reared her lion cubs. We see the image of a lioness who sits powerfully among other lions. Her children, the young lion cubs, are being raised among more powerful, older lions. As a kinah, the pasuk starts off with a question. Like an Echa, that also starts off with a question, how? This pasuk starts off with the question, what? The pasuk is saying, how important did this lion used to be? This lioness is either Malchus Beis David, the Davidic royal lineage, or it is referring to all of Israel. In the past, the Jewish people sat and were respected as a king among the other nations. The young princes of Yoshiyahu are called Gur, They are still young lion cubs, but they are being raised with a sense of nobility as they can be associated with other nobles in foreign lands. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Latal echad migureha. She brought up one of her young lion cubs, Kfir Haya, and he became a young lion. Vayilmad letraf taref adam achal. And he learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. One of the young, nursing lion cubs is elevated to a young lion. One of the first things he does is to learn to catch prey, and then he stalks and eats man. This is strange, as lions don't naturally eat men, as the fear of men has been instilled into lions by Hashem. The nimshal is that after Yoshiyahu died, the people with Paro's consent, as we see in Malachim Beis chapter 23, Parakhav Gimel, promoted his second son Yoachaz because of their grief and deep love of Yoshiyahu, not because this son was worthy. The young lion became a prince, a kfir, like a young lion, but never became an aryeh, a full lion with the prestige and power that his father had been. Unfortunately, in his short reign, he was traf tera, he preyed on the nations around him, and eventually he also adam achal, he ate man, which refers to the Jewish people who he also oppressed. We know from Lachim that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Here we learn more details about what that evil was. Another explanation of the fact that Adam achal the ate man was that Yoachaz fought with a force greater than himself, who was Paro, and then he lost. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, tells us that the nation took this lion in a pit with hooks to the land of Egypt, which is what happened to Yoachaz. He was led down to Egypt, where he died. When the lioness saw that her cub had been captured, she realized it was hopeless. Vatikach echad migureha kfir samashu. She took another one of her young lion cubs, and she made him into a young lion. While in Lachim we learned that Paro Necho put Yehoyakim as king, the Radak learns from here that this was only done with the consent of the population. Yehoyakim was still a gur, a lion cub, and he had to be made into a kfir, a young lion. V'yishalech b'soch arios, kfir haya, and he went up and down among the lions, even though he was only a young lion. Ba'alman v'traf teref adam achal, and he learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. This young lion acted with chutzpah. He was still a kfir, a young lion, but he walked and interacted with the grown lions, with the arayos, as if he was one of them. He too caught prey and ate man. This corresponds to the fact that Yehoyakim made alliances with both Paro and Nebuchadnezzar, and negotiated with the rulers much greater than him. Unfortunately, as we learn in the Levi, he left the ways of his father Yoshiyahu. He incited Ammon and Edom and either oppressed the Jewish people or fought unnecessarily with those who are more powerful. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, continues and tells us that he was particularly cruel. Almanos in this pasuk either means castles or can mean widows. He either destroyed huge portions of the lands of Israel or he killed the men of Israel and then violated their wives. This, according to the Radak, led to the disintegration of the cities. Yirmiyahu in Parakhav Beis, chapter 22, describes him as spilling innocent blood. He also laid so much of the countryside to destruction, which, according to Rashi, was because he was trying to collect unsustainable taxes to pay back Paro. The Malbim says that Nebuchadnezzar gave Yehoyakim power over the neighboring countries, which he used to attack and plunder them. Vateisham eretz mlo'ah mikol sha'agaso. And the land was desolate and its fullness because of the noise of his roaring. As a result of his oppressive nature, in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, we find out that the nations around him set up a trap for him, as was described in Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24, captured him and delivered him to Nebuchadnezzar's army. While his younger brother Yehoachaz was only put in chains, here Yehoyakim was put into a cage to be brought to Nebuchadnezzar for punishment. In the end, he died on the journey. The kinnik continues in Pasuk Yod, verse 10, but it now switches to a mashal of a grapevine who was planted by the water and had strong branches. According to Rav Breuer, the tribe of Yehuda is compared to both lions and grapes in the final bracha of Yaakov to his son. This imagery is used here in our parak to describe the last kings of Yehuda. Eventually, the grapevine branches were plucked, she was attacked by the wind and she fell. These last four psukim refer to Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda. First, the psukim recall better days. Imcha chagefen bedamcha. Your mother was like a vine in your likeness. Almayim shusula. She was planted by water. Poriya va'anefa haisa mimayim rabim. She was fruitful and full of branches because she was by so many waters. This pasuk is not clear who it is referring to, and the Mefarshim disagree as to what it means. The Malbim says that the Geffen, the grapevine, is the Jewish people, and that its last king was not even compared to a lion, but a grapevine that was uprooted from place to place. The Nimshal is that, as we discussed before, Tzidkiyahu wanted to be ruled by Paro and not for Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore he lost all the power that he could have had. Mitzvahs David says that the grapevine is all of Malchus Beis David, the Davidic dynasty. The Radak says that the grapevine is the Jewish people and the strong branches are David and Shlomo. In a previous perek, Perek Tezvav, chapter 15, we had heard about how weak a grapevine is. Yet here, it's being called strong. When the kings acted with Kedusha, with holiness, in the way that Hashem wanted, they became endowed with a superhuman strength. At other times, when they sin, the grapevine returns to its natural state, and the Malchus Beis David returns to its natural level of power. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, tells us that this grapevine had strong branches that were notable among the surrounding branches. The Nimshal is that this vine was Malchus Beis David, and its kings, David and Shlomo, were well respected by the surrounding nations. In Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, we see a change. The vine is battered, her branches destroyed, and fruits are dried up by the east wind before a fire consumes her. The Nimshal is that Nebuchadnezzar, who comes from the northeast, broke Malchus Beis David. He captured Tzidkiyahu, deposed and maimed him, and his sons, who are comparable to his fruit, are killed. The impact on the Jewish people is described in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Va'ata shesula v'amidbar be'eretz yevetzama, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. According to the Malbim, Nebuzaradan, the general of the Babylonian army only left the weakest people in Israel, which was then a wilderness with no cities and no resources. The parak ends with a description of what happened. Va'tetze esh mimatei va'deha pirya achla, and a fire gone out from the rod of her branches and ate her fruit. V'lo haya va matei oz, and she didn't have any more strong branches, shevet limshol, a scepter to rule. This refers to the final end to the Jews in Israel, when Yishmael ben Nesanya killed Gedaliah, and then there was nothing left of the life in Israel that had been limping along until now. The final words of the parak describe the reaction of Yechezkel to this sad tale. Kinahi vatihi lekina, it is a lamentation, and it was for a lamentation. As we have seen, this parak is very different than the prakim we have learned before. The other prakim were said in order to teach and change the people. That is not the goal of this parak. This parak is a kin'ah, a song of mourning, of grief, as Yechezkel bears witness to this destruction that has and will occur to the leadership of the nation. Yoshiahu held such great promise to bring the nation to righteousness. His sons, through their arrogance and sins, destroyed what he had accomplished. They did not listen to the Nevi'im, and the result was tragedy upon tragedy. These events were truly worthy of kinah v'tihi l'kinah, of a lamentation, because it was for a lamentation. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Basvi, Yosef.